Hey there, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, where we shine light on partnerships and programs that can serve our beautiful natural resources in Marion County. We are illuminating our Marion Soil and Water Conservation mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the district. And I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, Natural Resource Educator from the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. And on this episode, we are talking with my friend Kaylee Westerman-Lewis, who is the education coordinator for the city of Kaiser. We get to cover Earth Day plans for outreach, or on how you get to participate in these activities. How does Marion SWCD and City of Kaiser partner for outreach? And what education and outreach might look like as we continue to step into 2021 and beyond. And just some good old-fashioned networking for the greater good of our area. So have you ever wondered how our regional agencies put on such great programming and what outreach looks like in a pandemic? Well, that's what we're going to chat about on this show. And I'm talking with Kaylee, Education Coordinator for City of Kaiser. How are you feeling today, Kaylee?
I am doing pretty good. The sun is shining and just taking it day by day.
It's awesome. We all have to just do day by day. And sometimes it's just minute to minute and we got to remind ourselves to breathe a little bit. I mentioned in our introduction about programming and what outreach looks like, and I can honestly say a lot of what we've been doing from the very beginning has been because we've been able to meet via Zoom and bounce ideas off of each other. And so I'm so thankful for that.
Yes, absolutely. Zoom has been, any sort of online platform has just been critical during this time. So it has made our lives easier and able to function.
I'd also love for folks that are listening to hear a little bit about you and your position with the City of Kaiser, maybe a little background too on you.
Yeah, so I am the Education Outreach Coordinator with the City of Kaiser. My role with the city is to work with our Environmental and Technical Division and do public outreach. So it's partially public outreach, but then I also have a hand in doing our internal education and outreach. So that's my two main focuses. Previously, I worked for Marion County in a very similar position, working with stormwater and water quality education. But kind of previous to that, I have my bachelor's degree in environmental science from Willamette. And I got my master's degree in education, leadership, and policy from Portland State. So kind of melded my two passions of environmental issues with education. And I'm, you know, here today. I've been working in the environmental field for probably the past 10 years. In the past 8 years, have been working here locally in Marion County. And just kind of working my way through trying to educate as many people as possible on, topics ranging from waste reduction to water quality, stormwater, and just kind of ways to shift our behavior so that we can, you know, have less of an impact on the environment.
That is fantastic background. I look at the time scale sometimes and I don't know about you, but 10 years goes by in a blink of an eye.
It's crazy to say that. I mean, I am originally from Washington, and so I came to Salem to go to Willamette, and it's just kind of crazy to think back. Like, you know, we drive past Willamette all the time, and that's where my husband and I met. It's crazy just to think of, like, that time frame, and luckily we've, you know, liked Salem enough to stay here.
Well, we're sure glad you're here, and I love your background. I think it's really important that folks understand you have a lot of regional knowledge. And I see on the City of Kaiser webpage, which I love going on, you guys do a great job keeping that up. It addresses the mandated stormwater programs to meet the Clean Water Act and Safe Drinking Water Act, which is so important, and we thank you for that. But I just had a side note, where does all that water that we see that hits our sidewalk in the rainy season, where does that go?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. So a lot of people, when we ask them, you know, where does your water go? A lot of people think that once water hits our streets and sidewalks and goes into our storm drains, that it actually gets filtered or goes to a water treatment plant. And that's actually not true. So our stormwater system was developed as a way to get water out as quickly as possible to, you know, reduce flooding so that we don't have any major flooding impact. So way back when cities were being built, that was the central function of a stormwater system, was to reduce flooding. So the way that our stormwater systems work is that once, you know, when it rains, we want to get the water off of the street for safety purposes. So it goes into our storm drains, and through a network of pipes, it goes out to our nearest water body. So anything that goes into our storm drains, whether it's rainwater or, you know, debris, litter, chemicals, that all goes to our nearest water body. So in Kaiser, it's either, you know, the Labiche Ditch, Claggett Creek, or the Willamette River. So that is essentially where everything will ultimately collect.
Yeah, that is good to know. I think it's a great thing to understand that doesn't get filtered.
And it is a common misconception, and it's an easy one to understand because you don't see it. You don't see where it goes. So unlike when you flush your toilet or when water goes in your sink, that all does go to a water treatment plant and gets filtered. But unfortunately, our stormwater system is not set up that way.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind. I hate that, but yeah, we try to keep our neighborhood litter picked up, and that's why it goes right into the water body.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to my point, I had seen that there's a strategic plan to educate on stormwater and water conservation, but I know that that is important due to those acts, the Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act, but there's so much more to what you do as an educator. Can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So every municipality that operates a stormwater system or a drinking water system is required to have a permit. That's very boring to talk about, but it is a requirement. And that is essentially what sets our standards for how we operate, the things we have to sample or test for. And it also designates what we have to do for public education. So those permits that you talked about that come from the Clean Water Act, we are regulated on a state and federal level and it mandates kind of what we have to do and the way we have to operate our systems. So for education purposes, we have our strategic plan at the city of Kaiser. We call it our public education plan, and that outlines how we meet those requirements. So it's a fairly boring document when you look at it, but it is from year to year. It tells us what are we going to be doing? How are we going to be implementing our education plan so that we meet our permit requirements? And ultimately, how are we educating the public in a way to kind of reduce stormwater impacts on within our city. So that is kind of the boring spiel of things that we have to do in order to meet our permits and to stay in compliance. But the cool things that are within that strategic plan are those really exciting education opportunities and creative ways to kind of share our message. So on a really basic level, that's things like our website, social media plans, videos and things to get out into the community. But it's also things like you and I have worked on, as a part of the Mid-Willamette Outreach Group, things like the Water Festival, where we are educating younger students about different facets of water, salmon life cycles, stormwater, talking about erosion, and all sorts of things. That's also it, you know, our plan also includes things like Adopt a Stream, where we're working with local schools to kind of adopt sections of streams to kind of be caretakers for those. So there's a wide range of things that we implement within that strategic plan, but it really just outlines how we're going to be meeting our goals and trying to kind of move the needle in terms of water quality education.
That is wonderful. I did want to just bring up for the listeners that the Mid-Willamette Outreach Group is a group that is consisting of City of Salem, City of Kaiser, Marion County, Marion Soil and Water Conservation District, City of Albany, City of Corvallis at sometimes, but this partnership, this group all brings together those agencies that have a vested interest in water and the permitting and water quality and the education piece. And it has been an absolute dream to throw ideas around to that group. And so when Kaylee says that, I get a little excited, and I want you all to understand it's such a cool group, and they all have you as the public in mind when we do education and outreach. And we are always open to ideas. We did some pretty cool I guess, pivots and changing as we navigated this virus, but it's been a great group.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really unique too, because, you know, oftentimes the struggle with working with local municipalities is that, you know, even though the city of Kaiser and the city of Salem are butted up right next to each other, and, you know, we're encompassed within Marion County, and Marion Soil and Water obviously interacts in that, oftentimes we're working completely separate because we just have our own sets of standards and regulations. But what MWOG, the Mid-Willamette Outreach Group, offers is the ability to kind of coalesce and for us to work together strategically to achieve these goals. So it's been really fun to be able to do that and kind of work organically together to meet our kind of regional goals.
That's a great way to explain it. I just wanted to take a quick minute to let you know you're listening to KMUZ at 100.7. And this is the Conservation Spotlight, Marion SWCD's radio program. And today we're talking with Kaylee Westerman-Lewis of City of Kaiser. We've just talked a little bit about the really exciting Clean Water Act and Safe Drinking Water Act and how those permits and education work. And I wanted to follow up with you, Kaylee, about what are you personally most excited about as far as upcoming program having to do with public education and outreach?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect time to be talking to me because I've got a handful of things that I am very excited about. We are quickly approaching Earth Day. And Earth Day is April 22nd. Yes. And so we have a number of things in the works, with the city of Kaiser. The first thing that I'm really excited about is, we are launching a, City of Kaiser public survey. So we're calling it the environmental survey. I'm fairly new to my position. So I've been here for about a year, and what a year it has been. But I don't know a whole lot about what the, you know, what our residents think and feel and how they act. And so this survey is really cool because we're putting it out there, trying to hear feedback from the folks that live here about kind of what are things that they are concerned about, what are issues that are important to them, so that I can start incorporating that in our future planning. So that's one thing that it's currently live, that that survey is available on our website. If you go to kaiser.org/survey, that is open for City of Kaiser residents. And we are offering three $50 gift cards for those who are submitting their feedback.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's exciting. I'm really excited to hear feedback from folks to help us incorporate and to make our programs just that much more applicable to the folks that live here. So that's the first thing. And then for Earth Day, we are, like you said, we have had to pivot, like not just pivot, like 360 backflip spin, completely change the way we do things. So where traditionally we would do, you know, in-person fun events for Earth Day, we are now offering a different way of doing Earth Day. So I'm really excited about this because it would have been very easy to just say, we'll do it next year. But we did want to offer something. And so we are doing a virtual guided hike through Kaiser Rapids Park. And Kaiser Rapids, I'm sure most people are familiar with Kaiser Rapids Park, but it is, to me, it is one of the coolest parks because it's within a city, but you've got a dog park, you've got the big toy, you know, a kid's playground. You have a boat launch and access to the water. And then you also have this beautiful forested area that you can go to and just be completely immersed in the environment in the middle of the city. And so I'm really excited for the virtual hike because it offers an opportunity. We're just encouraging people to get outside. You can start at Kaiser Rapids boat launch, and then we have 18 different checkpoints that will be along about a half mile walk. And every checkpoint will tell you a little bit more about the natural features of the park and kind of share some insight about some of the activities and things that go on there. So I'm really excited about that, just to kind of encourage people to get outside, learn more about the environment. But in this age and right now, we're so connected to our screens. I'm excited to offer people an opportunity to just be outside and enjoy being outside.
I too am excited about that, Kaylee. I actually am. I'm ready. I'm ready for all of it. Kaiser Rapids Park. Just let me tell you, people, I went out within 2 minutes of getting into the forest. We saw four brown creepers. We had male and female mallards. We saw buffleheads. I mean, it was just awesome. And my son is a bird nerd like me, and we were like, ooh, ooh. So what do you need to, you just need a smartphone, or is this actually going to be kiosks?
You need a smartphone. And so we will have at every checkpoint, we will have a sign with a QR code. And you will just open up your camera on your smartphone, like you're taking a picture, and it will read the QR code, and it will pop up our website. It's a story map. And so you can scroll through the story map as you get to every checkpoint. Our goal is to, like I said, you know, we're so connected to our screens now. And unfortunately, like that's how we're operating this, is again on a screen. But our hope is that you'll be able to pull up the checkpoint and then play the audio. So you can be listening to the audio versus having to read it, but you can hear the audio of the storytelling of whatever that checkpoint is. So for instance, you talked about the birds. We have a checkpoint about native birds where you actually get to stop and listen to different audio clips to see if you can hear those birds that are frequent in the Kaiser Rapids forest. So there's a lot of fun in there, just different things that you might not think about as you're just briskly walking through the forest. We just point out some of those really unique features that are there.
I'm super excited for this, and thank you for doing all the work to story map that. I think the public will enjoy it, and I know I'll take my kids out and enjoy it. So
yeah, I hope so. I'm very excited. And there's a really fun thing that's going to be included in there. So we have an employee with the city of Kaiser who is like a wonderful painter. And he has actually painted three different features that are going to be along this hike that will be kind of a surprise for folks, and a photo opportunity.
Game on. Well, I want to follow up with this because that's really clever. And I think part of what's happened lately is that we've gotten a chance to be a little bit more creative. So we can't do this. And humans generally are really good at problem solving when problems present themselves. So it's been kind of a neat, creative way to do outreach. I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit on what you thought about programming into the future and maybe some of the knowledge you accumulated in the last year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. But I think for me, my perspective on this, when we, you know, we had to make the shift from in-person to all online, was okay, challenge accepted, let's do this. Because for me, my philosophy has just been, let's adapt, let's make changes, because changes happen they happen all the time, and you really need to be adaptable. You could resist it, mm-hmm. or you can flow with it, learn from it, and try and develop something that will fit into where we are now. And so when we started to make this shift, to me, it was just like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's figure out a new way to do things. And for me, it was always something that I wanted to do more virtual, do more online programming, not for the technology aspect really, but for the equity component. For me as a mom of two young kids, I care about my community and I really want to participate, but I have the hardest time actually physically getting to a place to participate. So offering things online has really opened up who can access it. And it's not perfect. It's still not like completely equitable, but it does offer this kind of a newer gateway to access people. So I've definitely learned a lot about what does and what does not work. But in the future, I have no plans of removing that virtual component. I still would love to see some aspect of the virtual learning there, just so that we can reach more people. And especially those who don't traditionally have an opportunity to be included in either education or, you know, whatever, like public outreach. So I'm excited about that opportunity. It has been challenging. But hopefully, you know, applying what we have learned in the non-pandemic setting maybe won't be so overwhelming. But like I said, we've found ways to make it work and to reach people that have traditionally not been involved.
I have a biology background. So as I hear you say adapt, my first thing is generally it's move, adapt, or die for wildlife. If things are changing, you have those options. And as humans, sometimes the adaptation piece gets lost. And so I think it's important that we all surround ourselves with people that are willing to take some of those harder paths. And oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I learned through some of the fails, like, well, we tried that. It was great. Let's see if we can make improvements on it. It was always like a constant debrief after action report. What can we do better next time? And so Haley and I partnered back in April and May, to do exactly what you're talking about, which was a Facebook Live, which puts you out there completely vulnerable, but everybody gets to see you and it is accessible by anybody with that Facebook account. And we were never able to do that before. We just didn't have the, it was a challenge and we learned from it. So wonderful. I definitely think that in the future, Kaylee, you're right, having some hybrid of both virtual and in person. Do you see anything else coming from what we've learned in the last year and a half as we create conservation education programs moving, let's say, 5 years into the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard, like, with, you know, environmental education to be taught on a screen. Like, so there's that duality for sure. There's just something about connecting to the outdoors that is so essential. So taking that, you know, you have to find a balance there for sure. But in whatever way we can, including that virtual or maybe not just necessarily virtual, but equitable education so that we're serving those populations. But I think one of the downsides that I have seen, and especially when we look at K through 12 education, has been the lack of outdoor access and has been the lack of ability to be outside and just enjoy the outdoors. And so, like I said, with our Earth Day event, I'm just really excited to encourage people to be outside, because that is, I think for me, that is a main stepping stone for environmental education. You know, you got to be outside and enjoy that in order to connect to it and care about it. So for me, I think that's a big one that we need to try and encourage more. And something that I, you know, I would rather have you just outside digging in dirt than me talking to you about, say, erosion. So that's definitely something I think we can learn from, and just encouraging more people to be outside, whether they're, you know, young or old. And I think the other thing, you know, within, you know, hopefully conservation education can achieve in the next 5 years that we have learned specifically during this time is how everything is so intimately connected. And I think in Western education, we have a tendency to silo everything. We have our, you know, we've got our water quality education, we have our waste, we have different, you know, energy, different components within our environmental education. And then we have general education and math and reading and writing and science. So everything is so siloed. Really, that's not how things work. And not in biology, not in the environment. Everything is so intimately connected. And I think one thing that we have definitely seen throughout 2020 into 2021 is equity and racial injustice, things like that, and how those are intertwined. We could, in our mind, we could separate them and say that those are two completely different things, but really they are very intimately connected. So I would love to see environmental education take on more of the environmental justice lens, take on more anti-racist lens of how can we be serving these, you know, populations equitably. And then what policies are creating the, you know, where we are in our environment? Because me as an environmental educator, I can do my best to educate individuals on how to change their behavior. But until the greater infrastructure and policies change, it makes it very difficult for you to change those behaviors. So those are some of the things that hopefully we can start addressing and really kind of seeing how everything intertwines and start addressing everything more holistically.
I feel like the reason you are so good at your job is because you feel that drive and the importance of caring first, which means you have to have exposure to something to care about it and make that connection. And without that, you cannot make responsible choices, which is basically what conservation is. And then moving forward, if we aren't involving all persons at all levels, whether that's K through 12 or anyone that looks different, we're not doing justice to what we have here on the planet. And as Earth Month is on us, I cannot agree with you more that we have big things to do, whether that's at the policy level and even at ground level. And I know as a wife, as a mom, as a passionate environmental educator, I've taken on a lot in the last year and a half, and I can't solve everything, but I have really leaned on you and my other friends in this field to share that same outlook. Like, let's adapt. Let's, how do we make this better? And I just would love our audience to be left with some Kaylee wisdom about that professionalism and how we just keep moving forward with a little bit of light.
Like you said, I mean, it's been challenging. I have had highs and I've had lows, and a lot of lows. You know, I'm very privileged in that I have not been impacted by this pandemic in a way that a lot of individuals have. So I have been fairly isolated in that and very safe where I am, but mentally a lot of lows, like a lot of people have experienced. But the thing that I keep going back to is, okay, we've experienced this. What can we learn? What can I do differently? And I personally, you know, it's just so much self-reflection of, you know, how can we improve? And how can we do better? Because we have to learn from this. So if we're talking about the pandemic, if we're talking about this experience, the one thing that I keep going back to is I have to have learned something from all of this. I can't go through this whole crappy experience and be the same on the back end, right? So my whole outlook is hopefully trying to find those nuggets of wisdom of where, you know, what can I learn from this? If it's taking away, you know, this virtual component and kind of looking at the brighter side of what we've been allowed to do virtually and how we've expanded our audience in that way. Okay, let's incorporate that as we move past, as we move through this and we find our new normal. Like I said, changes are always happening. That's something that you have to learn when you're in the environmental field. And that's just how we operate. We have to be adaptable. We have to change. And so for me, that's kind of been the thing that I'm holding on to, is I'm just trying to learn as I go. I'm trying to be better. Because like you said, that is where my passion is I care for our environment. I care for people, our community, and I want everyone to succeed and to have access to what they need to live a happy and healthy life. That's my motivator through all of this, is how can we do better?
The lessons we take out of this will drive a lot of different and exciting things. And I just want to thank you so much, Kaylee, for being my partner in crime and education. Yes. And Kaylee Westerman Lewis is the education coordinator for City of Kaiser. She is wonderful to work with, and we're so happy that we got her time today. We want to thank you, audience, for taking a few minutes to share this light with us. And we're so grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of taking lessons and of partnerships. And if you want more information about that awesome virtual walk Kaylee told us about in Kaiser Rapids Park, please check out their website,
kaiser.org.
And then marionswc.net is our website. We have upcoming programs for all about water. We're going to do invasive species, riparian habitat. That's in the month of May, June, and July. So get signed up for those online lunch and learn events. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in next month for the Willamette Wake Up on May 19th at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., 100.7 at 88.5 FM. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks for shining your light.